The first lesson is found in Zechariah chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today, I declare that I will restore to you double the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is found in Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 145. Please read responsively by half verse. I will magnify you, O God, my King.
And I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day will I give thanks to you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and most worthy to be praised.
There is no end in his greatness.
One generation shall praise your works to another.
And shall declare your power.
As for me, I will be talking of the glorious splendor of your majesty.
And of all your wondrous works.
They shall speak of the might of your marvelous acts.
And I also will tell of your greatness.
The remembrance of your abundant goodness shall they proclaim.
And they shall sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Long-suffering and of great kindness.
The Lord is loving to everyone.
And his mercy is over all his works.
All your works praise you, O Lord.
And your faithful servants give thanks to you.
They speak of the glory of your kingdom.
And talk of your power.
That your power may be known to the children of men.
Even the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion endures throughout all ages.
The Lord upholds those who fall.
And lifts up all those who are bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord.
And you give them their food in due season.
You open wide your hand.
And fill all things living with plenteousness.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways.
And merciful in all his works.
The Lord is near to all those who call upon him.
To all who call upon him faithfully.
He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him.
He also will hear their cry and help them.
The Lord preserves all those who love him.
But he will destroy all the ungodly.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord.
And let all flesh give thanks unto his holy name forever and ever.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Did you see those themes that I mentioned in the readings? The theme of rejoicing and praise and thanksgiving, and then also the theme of peace. If we'd had pencils, I might have suggested that you underline as we heard these things read, because it's all through it. These are the uniting themes of all of our scriptures. And I want to do something this morning that may seem a little bit ambitious, but I managed to do it in the first service, so I think I can do it now. I want to actually preach on every single one of our lessons in the short amount of time that we have. And I want to begin with the psalm, because the psalm actually sets the mood and sets the atmosphere for everything else. It is obviously a psalm of praise, one of these latter psalms toward the end of the Psalter. This is one that I think it would do us all well to have memorized. Let me just read a few verses for you. I will magnify you, O God, my King, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day will I give thanks to you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. There is no end of his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your power. As for me, I will be talking of the glorious splendor of your majesty and of all your wondrous works. That's what I'm going to be doing in the next few minutes. I'm going to be talking about the glorious splendor of his majesty and all his wondrous works, and especially the wondrous salvation that he has prepared for us, his people. Starting with the Old Testament lesson, the prophet Zechariah begins with the command, rejoice, rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Does that remind you of the Messiah? Do you remember that phrase? I won't sing it for you. I tried in the first service, and I've decided I won't this time. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Why? Because your king is coming, and he's a different kind of king. He comes meekly and humbly on a donkey, not on a war horse, not with chariots. And of course, we know that this prophecy was wonderfully fulfilled in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in a different kind of leadership, a different pattern and paradigm. And this is who Jesus came as, and this is how he acted among us, and this is who he remains today. And he is our Lord and Christ, and he is our leader, and we rejoice in that. In Jesus, we see a 180-degree reversal of the way human beings normally think of what a king ought to be, and a reversal of all of our values. The New Testament lesson, Romans chapter 7 and 8, and as I mentioned in the memo that I sent out earlier in the week, we rejoice that chapter 7 is not the end of the story. I rejoice that the lectionary bridged straight on from chapter 7 into chapter 8, lest we think that chapter 7 is the best that we can expect from the Christian life. God does not intend for us to live in that inner conflict that Paul so graphically describes in chapter 7. He doesn't want us to be wretched men and wretched women. He's got something better for us than that. A lot of Christians today have just enough religion to make them miserable. And maybe you know some people like that, and maybe you've been that person. You know you ought to do well, but you don't really want to, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't, and you're just miserable, and sometimes you think, why even bother? I'd be happier if I wasn't a half-Christian like this, and you certainly would be. Half-Christians are pretty miserable folks, but that is not what God has for us. He's got chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, Christianity for us, and Paul explains the details of what that is. And he does it in terms of a place. He says there is a place for you, and that place is called in Christ. In Christ, and you can live there. And we rejoice that we have the offer of a new home. What is it like? What is life like in this place called in Christ? Well, first of all, there is no condemnation in Christ. Plenty of condemnation everywhere else, wouldn't you say? A lot of condemnation going around. All you have to do is make one false step and you will be condemned heartily and thoroughly and maybe forever. There's also the condemnation that comes from the inside. Maybe you're one of those kind of people where you make one false step and you're going to condemn yourself forever. In Christ, there is no condemnation. You got to get that somewhere else. It's not in Him. In Christ, the Holy Spirit is at work. And because He is at work, we are under a new kind of law. It is the law not of sin and death, but the law of life. Another way to say that is that sin and death are no longer in charge in Christ. Life is in charge in Christ. In Christ, by the Spirit, Paul says, the righteous requirements of the law can be fulfilled in us. All of those things, and it's good that we had this passage along with the Ten Commandments. It goes right along with what the prophet Jeremiah was promising, that these laws can be written on our hearts and in our minds so that obedience comes from the inside and the law is fulfilled in us. A lot of times we get the idea, and maybe you've heard some preaching along this line, that the law has been fulfilled for us in Christ, that Jesus did all the obedience for us and now it's not our concern. No, it's better than that. It's a lot better than that. The law and all the righteous requirements of the law can be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilled in us. In Christ, by the Spirit, Paul says we have a new mindset. We can set our minds on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. And it's a good thing because the mind that is set on the flesh leads to what? Only one place. Death. Gradual or sudden. The mind that is set on the flesh, the mind that is set on the natural way of looking at the world, apart from Christ, it leads to death. But the mind that is set on the Spirit leads to life and peace. And now we come to our gospel. We rejoice in a new kind of leader, a new kind of king. We rejoice in the offer of a new home in Christ. And now we rejoice in a new revelation. Look at what Jesus said. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Father chooses to reveal him. You see, we are being given a revelation, something that no one else has ever had. We are being given the privilege of knowing the Son and of knowing the Father, things that could never have been known before. It's as if the curtain has been drawn back and we've been given a peek into the very mystery of the Trinity, and we can know God as He truly is. We can know Him, the Father, as Jesus the Son knew Him, and we can know the Son as the Father knew Him. A wonderful, beautiful, new revelation that we have in Christ. And the wonderful thing is you don't have to have a PhD. In order to have it. In fact, children do better at getting this. Finally, we rejoice in a new invitation. We are invited into a kind of peace, a new kind of peace. It's actually a new place of peace. Look at what Jesus says. Come to me. Put the emphasis on the me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where do we find peace? Where do we find rest? I think it's only in one place. You can get temporary relaxation and distraction from a number of things. You can take certain substances that will take the edge off, but lasting peace and rest are only to be found in Christ. And this circles us back around again, echoing what Paul said about in Christ. Jesus says, come to me, I will give you peace, and you won't find it anywhere else. He says, join up with me, yoke up with me. I'm gentle, I'm lowly. And here we hear echoes again of Zechariah, the kind of king that Jesus is. And what will we find when we yoke up with Jesus? Rest, rest for your souls. It's sort of ironic that we would have a passage like this on the 4th of July, because this is kind of anti-American. The notion of rest and peace, that's not our culture, is it? We're all about stress and busyness and being exhausted. That's a sign of a good man or a good woman. You're stressed, you're exhausted, and you're busy. Isn't that how we compliment each other? I know you're busy. Oh, you must be really stressed. We're addicted to stress. We're addicted to busyness and even to exhaustion. And Jesus comes and says, come unto me when you're ready. When you've had enough of that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest to your soul. Looking at my own life and the life of many people that I know, I'm not sure that we are ready for an easy yoke. As odd as that might seem, we kind of like our heavy yoke, our difficult yoke. But Jesus says it doesn't have to be that way. There is an easy yoke and there is a light burden. And when you're ready for it, you know where to find it. This is good news, and there's a lot to rejoice over. We rejoice in a new leader. We rejoice in a new home. We rejoice in a fuller revelation than we've ever had before and ever could have on our own. And we rejoice in the invitation to a new place to live, a place of peace, a relationship with the Prince of Peace, yoked together with him, going at the right pace, at peace with him.